So, is Netflix distributing child pornography, or is everybody getting spun up over nothing? That's what we're talking about today, because Netflix purchased and is distributing a French Sundance-winning film called Cuties, and people are pissed because it looks an awful lot like pornography. So, we just have so much to talk about. No time to waste. Let's get into it.
Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started.
I'm sure you have seen or heard the rumblings over Netflix's continued persistent distribution of the film Cuties. This is a film featuring 11-year-old girls, part of a twerking dance crew. And the controversy over this film started when Netflix first added it to their service that it was going to be coming out September 9th. Now the film has been released. People have had a chance to watch, not watch, dissect, not dissect, take to Twitter, and lose their fucking minds. Cancel Netflix has been trending. Some reports are indicating that since Cancel Netflix started trending on September 10th, Netflix has lost over $9 billion in revenue. I have not seen the numbers to substantiate that. But as the week goes on, because remember, I film in advance, I record in advance. But as time goes on, I will be updating the show notes to have that information if we see Netflix taking a substantial hit because of the canceled Netflix movement. But the controversy started when Netflix released the original promo for this film. So the original promo for this film had a different movie poster than the original French film used, and a different description than what's currently on Netflix. The original French poster had the girls who are featured in the film, the four girls in this dance crew, running down a street with like bras and underwear outside of their clothing, holding shopping bags, youthfully kind of just running down the street. It is a plot point in the movie. It is a screen grab from a scene in the movie, this particular image. And they look like, you know, kids with underwear on outside of their clothes running down a street. Again, the show notes are going to come in key here because I'm going to link to all these things, because the goal of this show always is to let you decide for yourself. And I'm going to try my best to not spin this. I will share my opinion after I share all the surrounding circumstances. The American poster for the film that was debuted on Netflix was the girls in a dance costume that is very short, little like bra, not bra-like tops, but like sports bra-like tops and booty shorts and boots and legging, nylon type leggings, almost fishnet-like in very suggestive poses. And when you look at it, it looks like something out of maybe a Bring It On movie or a college like dance cheerleading movie, very sassy, legs spread, backs arched, very suggestive. But they're 11. So that is where the outrage started. And then there's the two different descriptions. The original description that was on Netflix says, and I will quote, that this film is about, quote, Amy, 11, becomes fascinated with the twerking dance crew. Hoping to join them, she starts to explore her femininity, defying her family's traditions. The new description now says, 11-year-old Amy starts to rebel against her conservative family's traditions when she becomes fascinated with a free-spirited dance crew. Look, I watched the film. I have concerns. But the plot is, from what I can gather, because the subtitles are a little rough for me and the dubbing is really rough for me. But the general plot is that she is an immigrant She is Muslim, has immigrated to outside of Paris, is living in kind of project-style housing. There's a group of girls that are kind of badass and rebellious and different. They're the cool girls. Like, they're the cool girls who your mom's like, do not sit with them. Those girls are trouble. They're the bad girls. And she wants to become friends with them and starts doing that through dance. And she keeps upping the ante to be more and more and more, more suggestive, more outrageous. Most of the choreography in this mirrors like Cardi B's WAP music video, which I'm also linking. And if you haven't seen WAP, I mean, take a look. You'll see the similarities in the choreography. If you are on TikTok at all and have seen anyone do the WAP dance, some of that choreography is in this movie. This movie came out before the WAP music video, but these are dance moves that are very suggestive. Like, whenever you have 11-year-old girls like humping the floor, it's problematic. I was talking about the plot. The plot. The plot point that stuck out the most for me was how much social media figures into this movie. It starts with the main character kind of stealing a phone and starting to post selfies. And you see her taking the selfies and making them more and more suggestive, and then finding an app that will put makeup on you, that will filter your selfies so you have all this glamorous makeup. I mean, basically the way I do on Instagram. You know, you've got some fake lashes, smoother skin, thanks to a filter on Instagram. I'm also 42. I get to pick a filter. But that is the kind of behavior that this starts with. And then you see her light up when she starts to get those likes. And her behavior throughout the movie becomes more and more outrageous as she's trying to get that validation from social media. And that's not part of the conversation that I'm seeing, but I will come back around to it because that's part of the conversation that needs to be at the forefront of this, not whether Netflix is slinging like pedophile fuel. That's another part of the conversation. But the film does touch on her, the 11-year-old girl, Amy, her spiral into like a legit social media addiction, constantly looking for likes, constantly posting more and more outrageous things, to the point where at one point in this movie, she locks herself in a bathroom with the phone, pulls off her underwear and pants, takes a full-on vag shot, and posts it up on social media. And then a boy at school addresses it the next day in not a kind way, calls her a whore, slaps her ass, talks about her posting nudie pictures on social media, which she did. It was like full-on Trisha Paytas style photos. Now, the movie does not show hoo-ha, thankfully. You know, that's a whole nother thing. But you get the point that the social media drive for acceptance and validation drives this behavior. And that's very, very clear in the film. The behavior becomes more and more suggestive. Parts of where I had problems is that the camera work is also getting you all up in there. When these girls are twerking with their asses flapping towards the camera, all you see sometimes are 11-year-old ass and vag on screen. Like, it is just right up in there like a music video. It just is. And I was watching this, and then I went back and watched the WAP video, and I'm like, this is the same type of camera angles, the same type of choreography, and a very similar vibe to this music video, even though the video came out after, and I'm sure they're not connected. It's just, that's kind of what's become prevalent. I also think the filmmaker was probably trying to point out that children mimic what adults do. And with social media, children can be in very adult spaces. TikTok. TikTok. Snapchat. Children can be in these spaces where what is trending and what is getting the most likes is right now the WAP dance, is what everybody's... I mean, you can't scroll through Reels or TikTok without seeing somebody, you know, grabbing a bucket and a mop. And going pop, pop, pop. So if you have no idea what the WAP dance is, go on Reels, you'll see it. When you hear grab a bucket and a mop, that's it. Then you know you've come to the right place. You'll also see people laying on the ground, pounding with their fists and their pelvis, and then you'll know you've reached the WAP dance. I'll also link it in the show notes. because that move is what I discuss in the movie and in popular culture at the moment. So kids are mimicking what they see in social media. And here's the thing. Adults are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. Cardi B can whap all she wants. But the conversation needs to be, now kids are mimicking this. Where do we draw the line? The outrage over this movie is that people are calling for the U.S. government to draw the line. There are calls from Congress and from social media that Congress needs to investigate whether or not Netflix is actually distributing child pornography. And this is where the conversation gets difficult, because the point of the movie is that this little girl goes down this really dark rabbit hole of hypersexualization. And when she gets in trouble at one point in the movie, she's dancing very suggestively for an old dude who's leering at her. And the camera work, again, is all up on her booty as she is twerking for this old guy to try to get out of trouble. At another point in the movie, she's about to get trouble and she starts lifting up her top and unbuttoning her pants. Like, okay, well, can we just work something out? But she's 11. But also, isn't that what we see in pop culture? Oh, officer, I'm sure we can figure it out. Like, you can think of a reference in your brain of the media portraying women using their sexuality to get out of situations that they don't want to be in. Drop them to me. DM me. Drop it in the comments in the Facebook group when you're like, oh yeah, this, because it's so prevalent. So if the point the movie is trying to make is that our kids are looking at us and this is what's being put out on social media, and this is a dark road that we are leading young women down, that's a conversation worth having. But the flip side of that conversation is that we all have free choice. Cardi B's allowed to make a WAP dance. She can gyrate all she wants in a music video. She's an adult. But then we can't expect kids not to emulate it if they're exposed to it. And what kids are exposed to on the internet is all. I mean, when we started, I was having a conversation about this with a dear friend who not only has the pleasure of prosecuting all of the penis and vagina type cases, but also child pornography, child abuse, child sexual abuse, all the things that you never want to have a conversation about. And we do regularly. And we were talking about this particularly and how when COVID started, one of the first big marketing, like, hey, you're all stuck at home things was that Pornhub like unlocked premium access for free for everybody for all the things. So we have a culture that is very steeped in everything being available on the internet. And you can't tell someone in public like, hey, could you not be in booty shorts? Can you not be in a midi top? You know, there are dress codes at schools, but even then there are parents who find that restrictive and are like, my child should be able to wear whatever they want. So we can't have it both ways. You can't have whatever you want and be like, we're all free to express ourselves how we want, but we're horrified by this movie. There is a balance there. And we also can't say, hey, speech and artistic expression are protected, but we also want the government to prosecute Netflix for distributing child porn. Now, I'm not saying child porn's legal. Child porn is specifically illegal. And I will read you the statute. So once again, you can start to decide this for yourself. The thing with pornography is it's very amorphous to define in the law. And a lot of child pornography that is when you see people's computers seized and child pornographic images, a lot of the images are not what you would think of and are not particularly sexually explicit, but they are used for sexual purposes. And so where you get the evidence in a lot of that is how they're being traded, bought and sold. And these can be pictures as simple as like your kid jumping on a trampoline that was scraped off of Facebook, which is why I talk to people all the time about the types of pictures that they put on the Facebooks. Because it is problematic when you're using pictures that seem to be harmless, but those can be scraped and sold. And those can be just as much child pornography as graphic sexual images. So child pornography is not always specifically graphic in nature and specifically sexual in nature. So let's talk about the definition. And this is the federal definition. Each state has its own variation of this, But images of child pornography are not protected under First Amendment rights and are illegal contraband under federal law section 2256 of Title 18 United States Code, which defines child pornography as any visual description of sexually explicit conduct involving a minor, which is someone under 18 years of age. Visual depictions include photographs, videos, digital or computer-generated images indistinguishable from an actual minor, and that's talking about kids that aren't actually kids, like graphic computer-generated images that aren't like a real person but are a CGI'd person. Also, undeveloped film, undeveloped videotape. You can see how long ago this was written. Electronically stored data that can be converted into a visual image. It goes on to say, notably, the legal definition of sexually explicit conduct does not require that an image depict a child engaged in sexual activity. A picture of a naked child may constitute illegal child pornography if it is sufficiently sexually suggestive. Additionally, the age of consent for sexual activity in a given state is irrelevant. Any depiction of a minor under 18 years of age engaging in sexually explicit conduct is illegal. And it goes on to talk about the production, distribution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it comes down to what is considered sexually explicit. And that is a very open standard state by state where sexually explicit is defined by case law. I find a lot of the dancing in this movie to be sexually explicit. However, I don't find it to be more sexually explicit than something like Bring It On, some of the dances in Dance Moms, some of the stuff you would see at a high school football game. Yes, the children are younger, and that is what's most shocking about it. The children are portrayed to be 11. The actors in this movie seem to be around the age. It's also concerning that over 600 children auditioned for this. I'm like, who was watching all those kids' booty dance? That I have questions. However, we're also bumping up cultural norms because this is a French film. And it is being distributed to a U.S. audience. And the U.S. has a very different tolerance for art. Like, nobody's mad at super suggestive GoDaddy commercials, except for me. I was always like, what is with these GoDaddy commercials? Like, you could have a Super Bowl with all these super suggestive Doritos commercials and GoDaddy's commercials and all these women like, oh, it's so meaty. I just have to get my hands on a double whopper full of whatever the fuck was in those commercials with Jessica Simpson and with barbecue sauce dripping all over her tits. But then the whole world loses its mind when Janet Jackson has a wardrobe malfunction and her breast pops out. So we're cool with women like licking their fingers with barbecue sauce dripping off of their boobs in booty shorts, making all of the suggestive faces. But we're not cool with an artist who's singing and dancing and has a boob pop out of a costume. I'm sorry. What in the holy hypocrisy are we even doing? And Janet Jackson's career was like ended by that. But then you get Maroon 5 performing at the halftime not that many years ago, and everybody's like, I just want to lick Adam Levine. And we're cool with it. He's shirtless and just all abbed out and wet. And everybody's like, this is amazing. But again, you go back to Janet Jackson's boob and everybody's like, oh my God, it's a boob. Fire everyone. The network has to end. We have to put everything on delay. You can't watch anything live. But the commercials never changed. You still get the suggestive Doritos commercials and the GoDaddy's commercials and whatever else. So fuck, man. How do we have this conversation when we have these two competing viewpoints of like, you can't show that on TV, but if it's an advertisement, it's cool. And that's where the conversation for me about this film needs to also focus on the film's point of what is social media doing to our kids? What is happening to our kids? That's what the filmmaker says the point is. Now, I find the camera angles chosen to be a little horrifying, not a little, a whole lot horrifying. Like, it is shot like a grown-ass music video, but it's kids, and it's hugely problematic for me. But I can choose not to watch it. I can choose to unsubscribe to Netflix, and so can you. But do we need the federal government saying, okay, this crosses the line, that crosses the line, You can't post this on social media. You can't talk about that on Twitter. That's the problem. When we ask for things we don't like to be censored, we are going down a very slippery slope, because it is not the government's job to censor that unless it is illegal. And that's why people are asking, determine that this is illegal. But if what is seen in Cuties is illegal, you also need to take like Dance Moms off of the air, right? Because there's also suggestive dances. And I'm in the middle of binging Dance Moms. I'd never watched it before. And everything feels like it just fell into place because I've been watching Dance Moms. And I'm like, now I understand why I've been watching this. It's so I can make these comparisons. There are some of those dances where the girls look like Vegas showgirls and have very suggestive costumes and sometimes very suggestive dances and mature topics. And the argument there is always, this is art and its expression, and that needs to be protected. But then it's the same for this movie. And protecting things that we don't like is the hardest thing to do as Americans. Protecting speech that we don't agree with is the most difficult thing. But also, Netflix is a private company. If you're horrified by this and you reach out to Netflix and you're like, Netflix, seriously, I have kids, WTF, this is appalling. And Netflix is like, sorry, it's art and we stand by it. You can cancel Netflix. And Netflix is going to have to reckon with their own position of standing up for this film or backing down to societal pressure. The problem is that they're 11. If this was a movie with 16-year-olds, it's basically Bring It On in France. And so I feel like that's part of the filmmaker's point. Like, I can't even make my point with 16-year-olds because we're all so desensitized to 16-year-olds being super sexually suggestive. So we have to take the age younger to hit the shock value, to make the point, to have the conversation. But people don't want to have the conversation because it's so just, it hits you in the gut and you're like, you can't do that. I also understand some of the conversations saying, look, when you look at these two different posters for this movie, what does it say about American marketing? That the French poster is very much kids running through the street in a scene out of the movie. And the American poster is very much more sexualized. That conversation is completely appropriate and warranted, but it needs to go not just to marketing this film, but all marketing, and how much sexualization we're tolerating in marketing and how much of that's directed at women. But that goes to social media too. Shailene Johnson not that long ago posted a post on her Instagram in a full ass like thong bikini. And she's in her 50s. She looks amazing. But her point was, hey, this post is going to get a ton of likes because my ass is in it. And isn't that a problem? And started talking about the trends she's seeing in social media, that if you are posting bikini pictures and suggestive pictures, you're going to get more likes, more engagement, and it's going to be pushed by the algorithm differently than just posting herself drinking some coffee, working out, roller skating, whatever. And isn't that problematic? And I'm hoping that the conversation around Cuties can move into the fact that are algorithms pushing engagement on photos that are more suggestive, or is engagement pushing the algorithm on photos that are more suggestive? And if so, this is a larger societal problem. I was in this same conversation. I was like, we're going to come full circle round to y'all need Jesus. Like, at some point, this conversation is going to come round to y'all need Jesus. If you don't want 16-year-olds to be dressing like this or 11-year-olds to be dressing like this, maybe we need to reevaluate the values in America and the attack on the church in America and the attack on like traditional values somehow being wrong, and where the line of free expression and values of allowing kids to be kids, where those two intersect, and what social media has to do with all of this anyway, because it feels like we have gotten into such a ridiculous place. And this film is being made to comment, or it says it's being made to comment on this ridiculous place because of social media and because of the growing need. But if we didn't all, and we all as a society, if we didn't all engage with the photos of, you know, the bikinis and the asses and the shirtless abs and whatever, then wouldn't the algorithm not push that? So are we all to blame for Cuties? Maybe. And I'm finding more and more that the conversations that we're having here on the show are around what is speech, what is protected, and who decides. And this needs to be a society decides. This is a, the American people decide what's enough is enough. Do you call it art and protect it? Or do you say, this is, I can't with this. I draw the line on how this was done. This is not tasteful to me. This is not appropriate to me. This is way over the line and I'm stepping away. But that's not the role of the government. That is the role of us. That is our choice. Our choice to cancel Netflix, our choice to let them know that we're outraged over the movie, or our choice to say, I don't agree with this. However, it needs to be commented on. I don't like the way it's being commented on, but it needs to be commented on. And we are getting to a point, and I'm seeing it on Twitter with this movie, where if you say, let's have a conversation about where art's protected, where it's not protected, why it should be protected, and what that looks like, and then have a conversation about the point the film's trying to make, and maybe 11-year-olds shouldn't be on TikTok because they shouldn't, but they are. 11-year-olds shouldn't have their own phone so they can run into the bathroom and shoot pictures of their genitals. Yeah, we need to have that conversation. Instead of saying, anyone who wants to have a conversation about this film's obviously a pedophile. And that is where the cancel culture is stopping our growth in having these conversations of saying, this movie has taken it a step too far. And so we're not going to watch. But you know what? Cuties is trending on Netflix too. And generally the way that happens in an algorithm is because people are watching it. So if we don't stop watching all of the shit, they're not going to stop producing it, marketing it to us that way. So we have to call it out. But we also have to have the conversation. This cannot be for you. And I feel like for most of you, if you look through the things I've marked in the show notes, you're going to decide if it's for you or not. And you don't have to watch the movie. You can watch the clips that are pulled in the news articles regarding this movie and decide, does this go too far to make the point? That's for you to decide. But we also have to decide how to have the conversation of this goes too far to make the point. But I also understand if we start relying on the government to censor the things we don't like, we're going to end up in a really puritanical, really restricted type of society. And do we want that? And there has to be a balance between protecting our children and being able to have a discussion around really uncomfortable topics like child pornography, child abduction, social media addiction, sexualizing and hypersexualizing of young women, and not even just 11-year-old women, women in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. Let's throw it in there. You can sit there and be like, Emily, nobody's over hypersexualizing women in their 40s except for women in their 40s. Probably true. That's just probably true. If you watch Real Housewives, you know that they're all trying to hypersexualize themselves. But they're adults and they can make that choice. Our brains aren't fully developed until we're in our 20s, so we shouldn't be making those choices. And we need to have the guidance. The problem is a lot of parents don't want to take some of these social media avenues away from their kids. And I understand. When everyone's on TikTok, when you're a teen, it feels like you have to be there or you're missing out, especially in the middle of a fucking pandemic, because it feels like you're missing out on your youth and everyone's hanging out in this one spot. And if I don't hang out in this one spot, then I'm not a part of it. And if I'm not a part of it, like I've missed everything and I've already missed everything because it's a pandemic and all of my, you know, 2020 has been totally shit. And if I don't get to be on TikTok, then I just don't have a life and I don't exist because it's not on social media. I understand that that's how kids feel. However, if you don't want your kid doing the WAP dance, they wouldn't consider it if they weren't on TikTok. And this is where the one-to-one in your home conversations with your kids over respect and honoring their bodies and how that plays out on social and not being manipulated and not being exploited, that's where all these conversations have to happen with you and your kids. And if you have a kid in a competitive sport like cheerleading and dance, where they are in suggestive costumes and puckering their lips and making winky faces and wearing tons of makeup, then conversations have to be had that they are valued for more than just that. And that's, I think, the thing that's most disturbing to me in Dance Moms is the play for attention with the judges in this, like, but I'm so cute and here's my hip hop and here's this and here's that. It just feels exploitive too, the same way this movie can feel exploitive. And that's the outrage. That's the outrage over Cuties. Is Netflix slinging child pornography? And are we a hypocritical society where we're going to stand by the hypersexualization of women for advertising, but not when a female filmmaker tries to make a point? And yes, I understand that in most advertising, the kids aren't 11. And I think that's why she did it, was to make the point. But I certainly don't appreciate. It's awkward to watch. It's uncomfortable to watch. And the camera angles, you guys, they're just, it's so much that it is shocking and offensive. But most creative artists would say, I am trying to shock so that we can actually have a talk about this. And here we are talking about it. And so maybe it's worked. But I don't know how we have the conversations that need to be had when everybody's just like, cancel Netflix. And if you say anything about this film that's not, it should be canceled, then you're the problem. Because it's a bigger conversation than that. And social media is a big part of that conversation. So let me know what your thoughts are on Cuties. Did you watch it? Did you not? Did you cancel Netflix? Did you not? What do you think? We're going to be talking about it all week in the Get Legit Facebook group. The link is in the show notes, or you can go to getlegitlive.com and it'll get you right to our free Facebook community where we're going to be having these conversations, because it is a very valuable conversation to have. This movie is offensive and it is difficult to watch. And I think that that's the filmmaker's point, is that I'm going to shock you into having a conversation about what I see happening to young girls. And that's a conversation that I think is really valid and think needs to be had. And finding validation on social media is a huge problem. Social media addiction is a huge problem in teens, and it is becoming a gateway drug. And that is a whole other conversation that we will need to have about how social media lights up the same brain centers that certain drugs do. And it provides novelty and stimulation in the ways that our brains can become addicted to. Just like gambling, just like shopping, just like pornography, just like narcotics, just like, you know, nicotine. And that's the conversation I would love to be having around this movie. But right now, everybody's just really horrified about up close camera angles on 11-year-old booty shaking. And I am too. And I really wanted to come into this episode and have a resolution. And there's no resolution. The resolution in this is, let's have a conversation about social media, the hypersexualization of women in general and young women and younger women, and why young girls feel like this is how they need to act for attention and for likes. And is it because they're mimicking what they're seeing in society at large? And is that something that we all need to consciously change? That we all need to be aware of, and aware of how our actions affect others, how we model our actions to others. And this is why I get so frustrated when I see YouTubers saying, well, I'm not trying to be a role model. Shut up. You have 5 million, 10 million, 2 million, 100,000, 7 people that follow you. You're a role model to your followers. And so when we have YouTubers, God, I didn't mean to rant about Tana Mojo, but when we have YouTubers like Tana Mojo who are also promoting this kind of culture to very young followers, it's problematic. And this is why, because you don't get to opt out of being a role model if you have a platform and you've chosen to build a platform because it pays your bills and you want to be able to express yourself. But you also have to be aware of how expressing yourself affects the community at large and the community that watches you and be responsible for that, which goes back to, again, the fact that our brains aren't fully developed when we're in our 20s and we make bad choices. And putting it all on social media and on YouTube can also be problematic. Because YouTubers in their 20s have fans that are 10 and who want to emulate that. It reminds me of the scene. I was signing off. I know. You're like, Emily, I thought you were done. And now tangent. Yep, tangent. It reminds me of the scene from Mean Girls where Katie comes over to Queen Regina George's house. And Regina George's younger sister is kind of gyrating in front of a music video on the TV, trying to emulate the dance moves. And then mom's walking around with her boobs all up saying, hey, girls, I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. This whole situation just reminds me of that moment in time where the 8-year-old is gyrating in front of the television, trying to mimic what she's seeing. And I think this filmmaker is trying to call it out. I also don't think an American audience is ready to be called out in that way, because if we evaluate this movie and are outraged, we need to be outraged about the advertising that our young girls are seeing that make them think that this is the way to gain likes, followers, and attention. Thanks for having the conversation with me. I can't wait to be back with you next week. Thanks for sticking around for today's episode. For episodes like this and conversations like this, come join us in the Facebook community. The Get Legit community is where we discuss the episodes, where I answer your questions, and we have an opportunity to take a deeper dive in a respectful, conversational environment. The Get Legit community is on Facebook. There's a link down below, or you can go to getlegitlive.com. I'll see you on the inside.